We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to Overnight America. Still watch for those storms that are rolling through here. There could still be some strong storms, even though the severe thunderstorm warning has expired. Every Tuesday night, we get an opportunity to hook up with Drex, our friend over on the Late Shift in Canada through the Chorus Radio Network. And we simulcast this portion. Let's do that now.
The voice.
He's got our voice guy.
And we should be able to say hi to Ryan Reckitt tonight. Ryan, welcome back to Canada.
Hello, Drex. How are you?
I'm good, sir. I got to tell you, you and I have been extremely lazy because, you know, I think you and I consider ourselves broadcast professionals. Mm-hmm. And usually broadcast professionals figure out what they're going to talk about before they talk to each other. But you and I seem to forget to do that a lot of the time.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about you, Drex. When you do a show, and as long as we have all of these hours to fill at night, I feel like I can talk about anything for 10 minutes and not have to prepare for it. Like a 10-minute anything is easy. So
I've heard your podcast. You talk about some of the coolest topics ever.
Oh, I was listening to you talk about the chalk thing right before we joined, and I had you in queue.
Do your listeners know about this?
I saw the story, but we never talked about it. And I thought immediately of you with your pencil thing. And I thought, man, of course he would be into chalk. He'd have to be.
Yeah. Well, I'm not so much into chalk. I'm a pencil collector. And as you know, I bought some stuff from a couple of art stores there in St. Louis that have some pretty good stuff. So I'll just give you and your listeners the cliff notes. So in Japan, up until 2014, I think it was, 2014, 2015, there's this company called Hagoromo that make this specific type of chalk that teachers use on chalkboards in classrooms. But it's not just any old chalk. It tends to be a little bit dustless, it lasts a little bit longer, and it's a lot smoother on the chalkboard. So math professors all across North America have been hoarding this chalk.
Yeah.
Some of them have been hoarding 70 to 80 boxes of it. And we've found it's like a drug. Like, listen to this. Have a listen.
I didn't want to become a chalk dealer, but I did like the idea that I could be the first stick is free chalk dealer on the block in my department.
I was probably selling it regularly to maybe 8 to 10 colleagues. I would reach into my cupboard in my office and pull out another box and we do the deal in my office. And we all had a chalk fix. And we still do.
It sounds like they're talking about hard drugs.
You know what that reminds me of is when the hostess was going to stop making Twinkies and everyone bought Twinkies and they flooded eBay with Twinkies and people were spending like $100 a box on Twinkies. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Like, who's spending that much money on chalk? Like, it's a big deal.
I guess if you're a math professor and you like if you're a teacher of any level and you've been teaching for a long time and you do still use a chalkboard in your classroom, I would imagine you probably develop a favorite implement to use to write on that that chalkboard. So I think that I'm totally fine with it.
Yeah, that sound of chalk on board, though, that is enough to make anyone go crazy.
You know what we got to do on the last day of school every year? And I was telling our listeners this the other day. Up until about grade 7, the teacher would bring in a bucket of chalkboard paint. So on the last day, we would wipe down the chalkboard with water and clean it, and then we'd repaint it fresh for the new school year.
Wait, you paint chalkboards?
Yeah, the teacher would bring it in and we'd tape it up and we'd paint it for the teacher on the very last day of school. So when the next new class came in the next year, they had a nice fresh chalkboard to use.
Wait, in Australia, was your chalkboards just paint on concrete, or did you actually have like a physical board that was a chalkboard?
We have physical chalkboards.
I've never seen anyone paint a chalkboard before, though. That's a thing?
Oh, absolutely. You have to, because they wear out eventually, right? So there's a chalkboard paint you can buy, like a proper industrial one. And look, maybe school maintenance people do it when Ryan Recker isn't around as a little elementary school student.
I know.
But our teachers were kind of lazy because they'd get us to do it for them, because I think the teachers were expected to do it themselves.
Oh, wait. Here's a fun story. When I was probably in about fifth grade, there was a teacher that always had these very elaborate chalk drawings, and you would come in one morning, and the drawings drawings were just amazing. And everyone's like, wow, what an artist this teacher is. One day I had to stay late and I caught the secret. They used the projector to project on this on the chalkboard and then they would trace it. And I ratted them out. I said, that is not artwork. They're tracing. The jig was up after that.
Could you imagine if a teacher in the art department was found out to do that? Imagine the ensuing scandal.
Oh, the scandals. Last day of school, you're painting chalkboards. That tradition here, and a lot of people I know, last day of school was always for, you did like an activity day, you might clean out the desk, but you always got a little cup of ice cream that you ate with a wooden spoon. It was guaranteed everyone got that cup of ice cream.
Oh, it must have been a Detroit thing.
Yeah, it might be. I thought everyone had that sort of thing. Everyone I've spoken to, they've all had that same ending for the school year.
I like ice cream. Have you ever had the... Did you ever go to Costco?
Sometimes. We used to have a membership, but not currently.
You got to get the chocolate vanilla swirl ice cream at Costco. It's life-changing.
And these are in the little tiny cups?
Oh, no, they're in the little edible wafer cones.
Wait, wafer cones?
Yeah, like an ice cream cone.
So it's like an ice cream sandwich type of deal?
No. It's like a wafer ice cream. You don't know what an ice cream cone is?
I know.
The ones you just crunch into after you eat the ice cream.
Right. So it's just like a prepackaged cone.
No, it's kind of like, you know, when you go to Dairy Queen, and then they do the tricky thing where they go one lump, two lump, then they do the little loop. So it's like one of those cones.
Okay.
But the chocolate and vanilla is swirled up like a Christmas tree.
Oh, that sounds nice. That sounds real nice.
It's the most delicious thing ever.
I like ice cream. I'm a fan of ice cream. I do that. I got another story here for you.
All right, hit me.
Do you swim?
I kind of look like a drowning hippopotamus when I swim, to be honest with you.
We're going
to,
you're a Tim Conway Jr. fan, right?
I love Tim Conway Jr.
So I'm going to do a whip around real quick with you. So what percentage of Americans use the swimming pool as a communal bathtub? What percentage of Americans use it as an alternative to showering?
More than 50%.
Wow, you're right on 51%. Is that crazy?
That is...
That's so gross.
Wow. So hang on. So people, instead of going, you know what, I'm going to do the adult thing and hop into a shower and grab a bar of soap and clean myself up all tickety-boo, instead they're going, hey, I'm going to jump into a swimming pool that is chlorinated instead.
Yeah, because they're, you know, let's say they're out working, or maybe they're in the yard, or maybe they just did some exercising or whatever it is. Instead of showering themselves off, they're like, you know what, I'll just let the pool do that for me, and they'll just hop right in.
Look, if it's your own backyard pool, I'm totally okay with that. But if it's a public swimming pool that other people use, I'm definitely not okay with it.
All right. How many Americans admitted as an adult to going number one in a pool?
Oh, geez. I'm going to say it's probably around the same, maybe more. Let's say
adults.
55%.
40% of American adults have been doing it. And 48% reported that they never shower before swimming. 24% say they would hop in a pool within an hour of having diarrhea. Oh, my goodness. I'll never go in a public pool ever again.
Now, here's the thing, Ryan. You really have to ask yourself, if you're a researcher that researches these things, do they really need to ask the diarrhea question? Like, really? Is that necessary? Do we need to know that?
I want to know.
No, you don't. You don't want to know because you'll never hop in a pool again now because of it.
I'm done with pools for the rest of my life after you've given up
on pools because someone gave you one erroneous stat about someone with diarrhea in 2019, and it's ruined swimming pools for the rest of your life.
Yep, I'm out. Sorry, I'm tapping out and never to go back. There's not enough chlorine to get me back in there.
Well, there you go. All we need to do is, if we want to force anybody to ever stop from doing something ever again in their life, is just work in somewhere, somehow, a diarrhea stat.
If you want me to opt out, put a stat together, and as long as that's included, I'm done. We'll see ya.
Yeah.
You know, and I mentioned this to you before, I'm so happy that you listened to Tim Conway Jr. He's my favorite radio show host, and I didn't know you liked him too.
He's wonderful. I stumbled across him accidentally one afternoon. I was listening to KFI in the afternoon. I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was Chris Collinsworth, I think, was on. And he was doing something, and he's like, "Oh, Tim Conway Jr.'s here next." I'm like, "Tim Conway? I thought he was like that really old actor." And yeah. And for everybody that knows that Tim Conway's passed away in the last day here, mm-hmm. And I stuck around, heard Tim Conway Jr., and went, "Wow, this guy is everything I love in a talk radio show host."
He is great. I didn't know if you can get KFI in Vancouver if it reached there.
You just put a one of those proximity blockers on your internet, you're fine. I have to do the same thing to listen to your radio station.
VPN, one of those deals?
Yeah, one of those.
No,
yeah,
I didn't know easy. If naturally you can get that signal, because that KFI is a big signal out of Los Angeles.
No, don't pick it up over the air, but definitely get it over the internet.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, I am a fan, and I'll listen to the podcast here and again. I used to listen to him all the time. When I was first trying to get into talk radio, he was a huge influence on me to just kind of get me into the motions of putting an entertaining show together. Not a lot of talk shows try to be entertaining anymore, you know?
Yeah, because he came from the environment of where, you know, Lycus was there, Stern was on in the morning. This was that that station that had a sort of a rock talk format in L.A. for many years, right? He was there, and then he went to KFI, right?
He, you know, fun fact about Tim Conway Jr., he was one of the revolutionary or pioneering people that started internet talk radio. Like, 96, he started doing a talk radio show on the internet.
Really?
Isn't that crazy?
That is pretty crazy.
Yeah, he was one of the very few, if not the first, to do that. And he got a start. He worked with some other people, but I think he wanted to get into entertainment first. But yeah, it was sad to see that about his dad. And I was curious, too. I didn't know if he had an appeal over in Australia when you were growing up, if you knew who Tim Conway was.
I knew who Tim Conway was just by, you know, classic comedy and stuff. But I didn't know there was a Tim Conway Jr. Didn't realize that until I moved to North America all these years ago.
I see. Yeah. Yeah, Tim Conway was great, man. What a great physical comedy act he can put together.
I saw him in the lobby of this very building that we broadcast from back in, I think it was 2014. They were filming a made-for-television movie up on the 30th floor of the building that we work in. So they had the entire lobby shut down and all the elevators locked off. So I had to ask one of the production crew if they could bring me up to the 20th floor where we do the show from. And they said, yes, we're just taking up some of the talent now to the shoot. And I hop in the elevator, and there's Tim Conway standing with his assistant going up to the 30th floor to shoot his scene.
Wow, that's awesome.
I didn't say anything. I didn't introduce myself. I just thought, you know, this guy's working. I'll just let him be. But I instantly recognized him as Tim Conway straight away.
Would your voice break if you met someone that you really, really loved? Would you, sir?
Oh,
would that happen?
Hi, Mr. Letterman. Yeah, probably if I met David Letterman or Kimmel.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Letterman's big deal, man.
I met Conan O'Brien once in a mall in Spokane, Washington, of all places. I'd gone down there. Remember when he got booted from NBC?
Yeah, and he did that tour.
And then he did the Legally Prevented from Being on Television tour. And I went there, and I got the poster and everything. And the next day, I thought, before we head back to Canada, I'll do some shopping, you know, because Levi's are half the price. This is when the dollar was somewhat on par as well with Canada. So I head into this mall, and I see Conan with his assistant. He stops. He has a photo with us. Super nice guy. And he's very tall. He's extremely tall.
And pale.
You're tall and pale, yeah. It's a ginger thing, I think.
Yeah, I think he is the most talented of any of the late-night talk show hosts that are out there, and he's the only one I can stand. The rest of them I can't watch.
I'm kind of bummed that they cut his show down from an hour to 30 minutes, though.
That's kind of cool, though. He is doing this more interview format, and that's entertaining. I like that. He's kind of trying something different.
And maybe that's where that's the next step for him, to do those sit down interviews. And look, you know, those late night Tonight shows used to be like that, where they would have long form interviews with people, right?
They would, just like that. Mm-hmm. Well, Drax, I always have fun hooking up with you, and I got to find, you know, our producer Mike said he has an extra KMOX shirt he's finding that we can send you.
Oh, an extra one.
Yeah, it's one that he's worn many times. It won't be new. Oh. You're getting a used one. I'll have to make sure he puts it through the wash first.
I don't know about that. I think I might pass. I'm just going to pass on the t-shirt.
You got to wear it for a week.
Send me some stickers or something.
Oh, we'll just put some bumper stickers on a shirt or something?
Yeah, just send me a stack of bumper stickers. You know, some from KMOX, some from Y98, whatever. Whatever's in the bag, send me bumper stickers over. Right? How's that sound?
Thanks, Drex. I'll see what I can find, all right?
Ryan, good to chat. We'll chat again next week.
Sounds great. We'll see you, Drex.
That is Ryan.
Cool. Simulcasting with all of North America between Canada and the United States. Very, very cool. All right, so we got another severe thunderstorm warning that just popped up. And as we wrap up with Canada, we have a severe thunderstorm warning for northeastern Monroe County in Illinois and central St. Clair County in southwestern Illinois until 2 a.m. Carl Babinski joining us on the phone this time around. Carl, hey, thanks for coming back on.
Hey, basically just dropping by quickly and noticing that these storms, the same ones which prompted the earlier warning, are capable of causing not only 60-mile-per-hour winds, but half-dollar-sized hail. So in the Belleville area, Swansea, these are areas which need to have their guard up. These storms are moving to the east at around 35 miles per hour, and that warning you read is in effect until 2 a.m.
Yeah, and it goes through this way. Why are we getting more hail? Like, to me, I think hail would be set in stone. Like, if they're saying quarter size or nickel size, it stays that way. How does hail pick up size while the storm progresses?
Updrafts. The longer it spends time in the higher atmosphere, the bigger it gets.
Okay, so what areas are this again?
Belleville and Swansea, Waterloo, northeastern Monroe County and southwest Illinois and central St. Clair. The warning is in effect until 2 o'clock.
All right, we'll keep an eye out. Hey, Carl, thanks for hopping back on with us here.
Yep.
Carl Babinski, meteorologist for AccuWeather, and that severe thunderstorm warning till 2 a.m. for those areas you heard in Monroe and St. Clair County, both in Illinois. All right. How about that? Keeping an eye on the skies. Wow. What did he say? Half-dollar-sized hail. This is Overnight America, KMOX. All right. So we're watching the storms that are rolling through. You see them a little bit south of Belleville, Illinois right now, heading towards New Athens, and till 2 a.m., that threat is there. The severe thunderstorm warning picked back up on the other side in Illinois until 2 a.m. for northeastern Monroe and central St. Clair County. Part of the Air Comfort Service Heating and Cooling Storm Center, tracking that one till 2 a.m. So keep an eye out for that sort of thing. Yeah, big old hail. And we had a text message, you know, people are seeing these storms roll right through here, and it pretty much missed us on the southern part of St. Louis in the downtown area, because I keep looking outside, you know, and I didn't see the storms hit here. We didn't get the hail over here. Didn't look like there was much disruption through downtown St. Louis. It kind of stayed out, you know, went through, you know, Arnold, and now it's over on the Illinois side, just making its way right through this world, this crazy, crazy world. So we'll keep an eye on that. Yeah, and the sad thing, Carol Burnett has put a statement out talking about working with Tim Conway, passing away at the age of 85. A rep for Conway tells Variety he died of water on the brain. Carol Burnett show was on in one of the most popular shows of all time for 11 seasons from 1967 to 1978. Two of his most famous characters, The Old Man, and also Mr. Tudball. I'd never watched the Carol Burnett show. This was, I think, a generational thing. It was before my time. I never really watched the reruns, and I just know of the greatness that is Tim Conway from the clips I've watched and the highlight reels and people referencing him. He was nominated for 13 Emmys. He won 6. He was in all kinds of different. Like, here's what Vicki Lawrence said: hysterical, crazy, bold, fearless, humble, kind, adorable, all synonyms for Tim Conway. And Carol Burnett said, I'm heartbroken. He was one in a million, not only as a brilliant comedian, but as a loving human being. I cherish the times we had together, both on the screen and off. He'll be in my heart forever. I had no idea how many different movies he was in. So he had a successful video series, the how-to videos of Dorf, Scandinavian character, would stand on his knees and kind of funny, bumbling type of character. He got his career first in McHale's Navy. He had a run of Disney-produced comedy films, including The World's Greatest Athlete. He had won The Apple Dumpling Gang, Gus, the Shaggy DA, and The Billion Dollar Hobo. It's a good name, too. Conway scripted kids' comedies, co-penned a bunch of things. He was on many appearances after the 90s. He was on, let's see, he was Married with Children. He played Peg Bundy's dad as a reoccurring person on the Bob Newhart show, Newhart. He was in Coach, where he won an Emmy. From there, Larry Sanders Show, Drew Carey, Mad About You, Yes, Dear. When he was asked about today's comedy, Conway went on to say, I don't really know about who is really doing it these days. Many comedians and actors on social media sounding off and talking about their love and admiration for Tim Conway passing away at the age of 85. Yeah, and it's just part of the circle of life, I guess. And big thoughts and keeping the Conway family. I listened to his son, Tim Conway Jr. He's my favorite radio show host that I listened to, and I learned a lot from him, you know, just listening, trying to get into the talk format. Very talented guy, funny guy. Tim Conway, some of those bits that he had. I just watched the dentist one again today, one of his more famous ones, and man, was that funny. Dog's Life. Let me play this clip. I saw there was a couple of them in here. Here's Tim Conway on A Dog's Life.
I hear him coming up the walk now.
You do?
Uh-huh. Yeah, they'll be here any minute.
Are you sure?
Huh? Well, sure I do.
Are you all right?
Yeah. I wonder if I'm having a reaction from that shot.
Oh, now that's all in your mind. Don't be silly.
Yeah, well, I suppose you're right.
Good opportunity for you. Now quit kidding around.
I'm not kidding.
Oh, that's funny. That is so funny. The dentist one, if you haven't seen that lately, you have to go back and watch it again. It's just so brilliant. The whole thing was hilarious. Oh, is that funny? All right. National Weather Service in St. Louis, still they have that severe thunderstorm warning out for Monroe County and St. Clair County in southwestern Illinois until 2 a.m. Could see gust of wind, half-dollar sized hail. We're getting people texting us right now, the storms that are rolling through here. So up until 2 a.m., be mindful of that as it continues to go through this area. And that big cluster of storms, really, it looks like it's just past Belleville now and starting to move out to the southeast. So it's kind of like scrolling down a little bit south of 64. So you do have a little tail end of it on the northern side still hitting 64 as it's going through. But really, the main portion of it's south of 64. This is Overnight America, KMOX. Joining us now is a pediatrician who has a practice in Dallas-Fort Worth, Dr. Elizabeth Thomas. Thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate that.
I'm wondering about this whole anti-vaccination fad. I don't know if it's a fad. I think it's been going on for a little bit, but do you think this is actually picking up popularity, or do you think this whole trend is losing steam when it comes to parents not vaccinating their children?
You know, I actually think that it's something that's going on and picking up steam, unfortunately, just because we're seeing the rise in certain diseases that we thought were becoming eradicated. But because, for example, we're seeing cases of measles more predominantly in certain states where we have a large population of families that are deciding not to vaccinate, I think, unfortunately, we're seeing that there is this trend that's increasing in the number of anti-vax movement.
And it's not just here in the United States. We'll see the statistics of Europe, and their numbers are staggering as well. And, you know, there's that one story about the cruise ship, the Scientology cruise ship, where they had to quarantine it, you know, and test everyone for the measles vaccine. And so these stories pop up every once in a while, and you hear about these parents that absolutely refuse to do these vaccinations for their children. If they're so convicted not to vaccinate their children, and I know you've researched this, what statistics are they looking at? Do you think they're looking at completely wrong?
I think they're not looking at the scientific evidence that's out there. I think in terms of statistics, unfortunately, they're looking at stories and fads and opinions of people, and they're following these very emotional stories of people, which I think in their minds is very real, but unfortunately is not based on scientific evidence. So when you look at the evidence out there, it's really not scientifically based. It's more of, I believe, more fear-based versus a scientific base. Because when you look at vaccines, there are thousands of studies that have gone into them using the scientific method to prove that it's safe.
Yeah. It's almost like they find this correlation that doesn't necessarily exist because they just try to draw to the conclusion. And the thing, too, with vaccinations, I mean, it's not like there's 0% risk of a vaccination. It's just that the risk is so minuscule. It's a lot better to vaccinate your child than take the risk of not vaccinating. Is that fair?
That's exactly right. Yeah. So with any procedure, any medical procedure, you always see in that list of complications, possible complications is, you know, there's always that possibility of something severely going wrong, even death. But your chances of dying from a vaccine-preventable disease is much higher than actual death from a vaccine, which in my 8 years of practice, I've never seen a death from a vaccine. So it just does not correlate between, yes, this child got the vaccine, and then they died from the vaccine. I just don't see that. In fact, it's the opposite, where we're giving the vaccine and saving a life, whether it's the flu vaccine or the measles vaccine, that's actually helping to save a life.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, the odds of taking a 1 in 1 million versus a 1 in 1,000. And you're saying,
right,
well, I don't like those odds. You would definitely want to put your child in the best scenario where they are healthy in the long run. And you know what's
right.
What's interesting too, and joining us is pediatrician Dr. Elizabeth Thomas. If you're at a dinner party and someone comes up to you and says, "Well, I heard," so you always know whatever comes next, you're about to roll your eyes at. But like, let's say someone does come up to you and they are honestly asking you questions because, like, let's say maybe they think they should have the choice to not vaccinate their children, and they're trying to figure out if they should follow up on that choice. How do you convey a message to them of caution, and how do you convey that message that it's going to be a lot better for their child if they vaccinate?
Sure. So one of the biggest things that I tell them is, at the end of the day, every parent and every doctor, pediatrician, wants to make the right decision for their child. We never want to tell a parent, you know, do this vaccine because your child will never have anything negative happening to them. No, we tell them that we want your child to get this vaccine because the odds are if they don't get the vaccine, it's very likely that they'll be exposed to the actual disease. So what I usually want parents to know is that there is a lot of evidence out there. And with the internet today, they are able to research all of this great information, all of these studies that are out there. All they have to do is go to, for example, the American Academy of Pediatrics to look up information on the child and immunization schedule, look at the National Academy of Sciences, look at these studies that are following thousands of children for over 10 years just to look at whether vaccines did any ill effect on them. In fact, there are studies following 1,000 children for 10 years, you know, making sure they're looking at two different cross studies, looking at children that did get the vaccine and children that did not get the vaccine and what kind of effect they had after that. So there are studies out there that are testing for those side effects. So I would have parents look at the evidence that's out there and to, you know, actually come back with what evidence do you have, scientific evidence that proves that this vaccine causes this ill effect. And chances are they will not be able to give you a scientific based evidence on that.
Yeah. You've seen over in the UK, I mean, they are having major issues with it, too. And I read this one headline just recently. The UK health secretary said that anti-vaxxers have blood on their hands. So some people go very far at trying to maybe shame the parents into action or maybe changing their view. I find that it's nearly impossible to shame anyone into anything anymore. So being able to approach this, you can say, go and look at the research and you can read some of these studies that are posted, but you know that'll never happen. How, I mean, is there a practical way, knowing that some people are just going to read mom blogs on the internet that are just riddled with misinformation? I mean, how do you reach those people that by far do not want to look at any of the research?
Sure. I would have to say that we do need to respect the parents who choose not to vaccinate to the extent of understanding that they are taking their time to research, and we understand why they're skeptical. You know, they are really wanting to do what's best for their child. So I think in a practical way is being open and honest with the parent and telling them honestly the truth, telling them the statistics, but sometimes that's not what they want to hear. It's honestly just loving on them and telling them, I'm just trying to do what's best for your child, but I'm not going to force you. I can't force a parent to say yes, but they need to be able to call me and get a good answer from me every time they have a doubt. So whatever doubts they come back with, I should be able to respond to those doubts in an educated way, but also be very understanding. I think that's really important, whether you're giving a parent a diagnosis or you're talking about vaccines. They need to have that trust relationship with their provider. And what's great about the practice I'm currently at Diamond Physicians in Dallas, Texas, is that it's a direct primary care model where I have about 30 to 60 minutes with each patient so I can go over their concerns about vaccines or whatever treatment they're needing to get educated on. So I think having that open, honest communication, not just these mounds of evidence to prove that they're wrong, it's more of, hey, do you have a question about that? What is your concern about that? And leaving it open-ended so they can, you know, relay their concern about the vaccine.
You know, you, I believe, are in the district of the Texas representative, Jonathan Strickland, who just recently, as part of a debate, was talking to someone that was in favor of, you know, a proponent of vaccinating your children. And Strickland, I believe, is at the minimal, wants the government to stay out of it. At the high end of it, said, make the case for your sorcery. So he calls it vaccination sorcery. So when you have legislation that could go into place, do you see that as dangerous when the people that are writing the laws or have influence over the laws are pushing so far to make it so you look at vaccinations like it's sorcery?
Right. And I think, unfortunately, that's a very negative word. You know, we know that sorcery is the use of magic, especially black magic, and has it's supernatural in their thoughts, and it has nothing to do with religion or science per se. What they're referring to is that these vaccines that we're giving our children is something so supernatural and have no scientific evidence, which we know is not true. I don't have any fear that that will have a huge impact on what we're doing for our children in terms of vaccinations. However, the concern is that it can draw a group of people to believe that what he's saying is true. And that's the concern for anything, when you can kind of almost brainwash a group of people into thinking that this is supernatural, this is black magic, when truly the evidence is out there that it's not, that this is scientifically based, that this is done in laboratories, and evidence has shown that these work, and years of research have gone into getting these vaccines, not only studied, but out the door. Mm-hmm. And we've found that even in a practical sense, we've given these vaccines to these children, and in my experience, I've never seen some of these negative effects that I've seen on these children. So it is concerning that you do have legislators that are saying such things, but at the same time, I feel rest assured that the scientific background, the evidence that we have, surpasses those kind of negative responses in terms of vaccines.
Yeah. All right. That is Dr. Elizabeth Thomas. You can check her out at diamondphysicians.com. And she wanted to come on and talk about this, which is an interesting topic. We see it pop up a lot, not just in social media, but the news. We see in New York that they're still having this debate because that's where a lot of the measles outbreaks is happening here in the United States. Thanks again to Dr. Thomas. Diamondphysicians.com is the website. So still tracking through the storms from the Air Comfort Service Heating and Cooling Storm Center. So the National Weather Service continuing that severe thunderstorm warning, which remains in effect until 2 a.m., so another 12 minutes or so, into southeastern St. Clair County. And the National Weather Service keeping that severe thunderstorm warning open until 2:15 a.m., St. Clair County, that's the same one. So maybe they just put that back to 2 a.m. But either way, we're seeing those storms roll through and we're seeing some hail. I've seen some people on Twitter even put up quarter-sized hail, and that's no joke. Really damaging winds. You get up to 60-mile-an-hour gust of winds that could happen with this storm. We'll check the very latest coming up next on Overnight America KMOX. Good news, the severe thunderstorm warning now expired. Looks like they dropped it a couple minutes early. Yay. Storms are still going through our area, and if you were to look at the radar, just checkered. But the heavy stuff is pushed through and out of our area, which is nice. Hey, we got that going for us. Yeah, there are some hazardous weather outlooks. And with that rain, you never know what that means for major river flooding in some of those areas across the Mississippi and Illinois rivers, which they're calling for as well. So be careful, be mindful, and, you know, don't hot dog it around when the roads are wet like this. You just want to be careful. Well, how about that? Some severe storms wrapping up as we're about to wrap up, too. Isn't that a perfect little bow on the night? We had AccuWeather on a couple of times. We only got a couple minutes. Here's a quick story. I'll just do this one. I'm not a big fan of these rankings, but I do look at them once in a while. USNews.com decided to rank the states, and I thought, okay, let's see where Missouri's in. All right, let's see where they decided to put it in this dog and pony show. And of the 50 states, they ranked them near the middle. Number 28, the highest ranking Missouri has on their list is natural environment is in the top 10. And opportunity is at number 11. Some of the lowest rankings they have. Healthcare at 41, crime at 44. I'll say this about healthcare at 41. We have so many great specialists here in St. Louis. That is ridiculous if you think about it. I mean, there's some world-class research going on right here. Education's right in the middle, economy in the middle, infrastructure in the middle. Fiscal stability is above average at number 16. Number one state, according to this, is Washington, then New Hampshire, Minnesota, Utah, and Vermont. The top five, the bottom five, according to the rankings, Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, West Virginia, and New Mexico. I wonder how they come across that. I guess Louisiana has some pretty terrible rankings. They're almost 50, and I don't think they rank higher than anything. 43 is their highest rank in fiscal stability. Yikes. All right, well, that about does it here for us. Hey, good thing that we have the weather gone in our area. So the severe thunderstorm warning has expired. We don't have to worry about it. They were even looking at maybe about 215 there for a little bit. And that was part of the Air Comfort Service Heating and Cooling Storm Center. Join us again tomorrow night, which is really tonight, which is really St. Louis Blues night. So we have a combination of the Cardinals and the Blues, which you'll hear right here on KMOX. I'll be on immediately after. And you feel the pressure? I feel the pressure. Reach out on Twitter at Ryan Recker, and you can listen to any part of the show you'd like by going to KMOX.com/ONA. A link right there. You can find us on your favorite podcast app. Have a great night. We'll see you. Go Blues.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.